Welcome to the fifth episode of Cattle HQ, brought to you by South Dakota State University Extension. I'm Adele Hardy, cow-calf field specialist based out of Rapid City, and I will be your host today. On today's episode, we will be discussing NetRap and some of the challenges beef cattle producers face, along with some research results from a study I conducted at the SDSU Cottonwood Field Station. I have two guests joining me on today's episode who can share their experience with NetRap in cattle diets. I would like to welcome Scott Hamilton from Hamilton Farms in Hitchcock, South Dakota, and Dr. Jim Stengel from Golden Veterinary Services in Milesville, South Dakota. Thank you guys for joining me. So Scott, can you please introduce yourself and tell me why this topic is important to you?
Well, I'm Scott Hamilton. I farm and ranch with my brother, Jeff Hamilton. We run about 1,100 head of cows. We're beef cow at the beef feedlot. We finish probably around, 1,400, maybe 1,700 head of cattle. I've always, the way I got involved in the NetRap is I despise the stuff. And I didn't really, I was doing like everybody else, just ignoring it. And it wasn't till I started sort of thinking about some of the, what was happening with NetRap. Well, actually what started it all was we had a fed cow that went down on ice, and this is what really pushed me over the limit. We had a fed cow that went down the ice, and we butchered her ourselves, and we retrained our NetRap ball out of her. And that was a 14-year-old cow. It's all dried out and so forth. But that really put me over the edge to do something. Now, I had been sort of working on some things prior to that. I just figured they're passing the NetRap. You know, we were grinding it. So our cow herd, the way we work our cow herd is we have two feedlots. We grind all our hay at those feedlots. We use a 3-inch screen on the hay grinder. So we was grinding it pretty fine. At my place, we'll feed the cows in the winter. They'll be on stalks or cornfields or wherever, and we'll haul feed to them. So we'll grind some hay, and prior to sort of the NetRap issue, we just always fed them ground the NetRap with the hay. Never really thought anything about it. A few years ago, I had a hired man. His son-in-law was feeding sheep with a bale processor, and the sheep started dying, and they started opening up all the sheep, and they were dying because they were clear full of NetRap. So that sort of got me thinking that this isn't passing through and so forth. So I've been sort of trying to work on different methods to remove NetRap. I mean, to me, it's a really, really bad thing. Plastic in the environment. You know, not only is it affecting our cow herd, it's getting in our manure, it gets in the fields, it gets in the equipment, gets in the hay moving equipment, takes out bearings. It's a real menace. I had a really lengthy discussion with my hay mover. Actually, I had a pretty lengthy discussion with Pritchard Twine Company. Mm-hmm. I don't see people not using NetRap, mostly because the sisal twine is more expensive. It doesn't hold up. Because the minute you dump it out, the mice or crickets or whatever eat it, and you can't hold it. My hay grinding guy, or my hay moving guy, he sort of feels, you know, it's faster. It sheds water better. Transport's easier. But you know, after I visited with you and you had your study, and you were coming up with 8% volume of net wrapping these cows after 5 months of feeding them, it's just, we can't have that happening. So I sort of tried to do something. I made an attachment through a welding shop that goes on the backside of my loader bucket. And then I put a knife on my grapple fork to try and cut the net wrap and then retain it, so it wouldn't go through the hay processor or the hay grinder or so forth. And doing it from the seat of your tractor. Because people are lazy, including myself, and we don't want to take the time to remove the net wrap. Well, this attachment stuff that we built and so forth does remove 98% of the net wrap. But it's not fast enough to keep up with my hay grinder when he comes. So what we ended up doing is we have one of us, either myself or one of my hired man or even my wife. I'll grab two bales at a time. We'll slice it with a hay knife, and then I'll activate my little thing and dump out the bales, and we retain the net wrap. It's a bad thing to have this happening. You know, this cow was 14 years old. It basically had the equivalent of a slow pitch softball in her rumen. Now, I don't know what the economic numbers are, but just from the health side, it's no good. So that sort of is my resolve, is let's try and do something. Now, you know, Adele, you and I worked together a little bit. We sent a load of fed cattle to Dodge City, and we set up our own little, I guess, private study. But the first thing we learned, that it's a problem in the plants too, because they actually are employing people to remove this from their process, which I don't think you were aware of. And I wasn't aware of. Yeah.
Yep.
So, it's a bad thing. I don't see people changing, other than we need to motivate ourselves to figure out a way to remove it. And when I talked to the twine people, they said, well, the biodegradable net wrap, you know, you hear that all the time, but it's too heavy, it won't flow. But these newer balers, some of them don't even offer the twine option. It's strictly net wrap. So I was naive because I thought they were sort of passing some of it. And I don't think how fine you grind it, I don't think they'll pass it through the rumen. I mean, that's something for the doc or somebody else other than me.
No, I think that's a great, great question. And you brought up a lot of really good points that I'm hoping we'll be able to address with this discussion today. So I'm going to turn it over to you, Dr. Stengel, and I want to hear your perspective on what you're dealing with from the veterinary side of things, and some of the, you know, introduce yourself and share some of the challenges that you see from that side of things.
My name is Jim Stengel. I'm a bovine veterinarian. I do 90% cow-calf. I've been in practice 32 years in Haakon County, South Dakota. When net wrap finally came on board, I thought it should be removed because I didn't think it would pass. And a lot of the clients did remove it. A lot of them still do. But as ranchers got bigger and busier, nobody took the time to remove it. And I didn't really know what the impact was. For one thing, it's really hard to diagnose. What does a cow look like that's got too much net wrap in her? I ran into a bunch. I had a client that lost a lot of cows from an unrelated disease. And in posting them, I found a lot of net wrap. And oftentimes they're balls, like soccer ball size. And the cow was dying due to other things. You know, I chalked a net wrap to an incidental finding. I didn't think it killed them. And, but I did bring it up with the owner, and he has started pulling net wrap off before he processes it. I had another case where an owner had several cows, and I diagnosed it as woody tongue. Woody tongue is an infection in the tongue. Their tongue will stick out, they'll drool, they can't eat. These cows get thinner body conditions for wise, but they kind of still have a big belly, but they won't eat. I remember treating these cows for woody tongue and not responding, which is not normal. Usually they respond to the treatment. And one of them died, and the owner cut it open and sent me a picture, and there was literally a wash tub full of net wrap in her. Wow. And these were purchased cows, so we have no idea. They had no idea that that was what they were buying. Because they don't feed net wrap. There can be a tremendous amount in there. And then I got a client this spring who was sure he was getting net wrap in his cows. Says, I'm going to bring some into you. So he did. And I went in and did a ruminotomy. I went in on the left side, clipped them up, and made a hole about this big, and tacked the rumen to the skin and just reached in. And in the top layer of the rumen, you have all the solid ingesta floating. And you reach down through it, and the net wrap is always at the bottom. It's just in liquid on the bottom of the rumen. So if that's the way they all are, then, and that's the way every one I've found was, it's staying in the rumen, in the bottom. One cow had this in her. Well, can you see all that?
Yeah, it's about like mine.
Yes, it is.
So
this cow was standing and walking, you know, came in this way, and this is what I took out of her.
So, Doc, can you explain, since we're on a podcast and they're not going to be able to see the picture, can you kind of explain with words the size and shape of your ball of net wrap there?
This ball of net wrap is 3 feet long. It's got a kind of a long, narrow string with a ball on the end. The ball is bigger than a grapefruit. It's probably 6 inches by 4 inches by 3 inches.
Okay.
How old was the cow?
That was a 5 or 6 year old cow. It wasn't a really old one.
I'll tell you how I describe it. The way I describe it is you take the old rope and the hay mount that you hang on as a kid.
Yeah.
Swing. You take 3 feet of that, and then you take like donkey turds, donkey manure, and put that in that rope. And that's how I describe my net wrap. Now, when you wad it all up, it turns into a slow pitch softball. Mine did. But that's how I describe it, is a rope with donkey manure with hay and plastic all intertwined.
Yeah, there's lots of hay inside this. What's kind of really disturbing about this shape is that with the long ropey end of it, you know, a cow has to regurgitate and chew her cud. If this small end came in contact with the esophagus when she wanted to regurgitate her cud and bring it up into her mouth, the big ball on the end would plug the esophagus. Now, I've seen that happen actually with non-degradable twine. The cow died of bloat because she pulled some twine up, but the bottom was tied up in ingesta and it plugged her up and she bloated. This same configuration could do the same thing. But I don't know if it floats enough to get up there with the rumen churning, and I don't know if it would be a cause of sudden death. Some of the others that I found were about the size of the ball with no string on them. But this was a bale processor. So there's a lot more twine with the bale processor.
Now mine is out of our cow that is 14 years old, but I don't know how long has net wrap been around? 10 years?
It's been 14, is it?
No, I don't think so. But this is a 3-inch grind. We grind with a 3-inch screen.
Mm-hmm.
And, you know, mine's like yours, long.
Yeah.
I don't have quite as big of balls.
Mm-hmm.
So the interesting thing about that is when I think about the research that we did at Cottonwood, it was only for 5 months. So we had a very short period of feeding. We were trying to replicate or show what a 5-month winter feeding program would look like in cows. And we were pulling what we would consider wads of net wrap out of those cows that were about 3 feet in length, but they didn't have the ball structures like you guys are showing with yours. I mean, it was wadded up, but it wasn't quite the same structure as what you're showing. But what we found interesting is that two of the cows that had recently calved, their placenta was also wound up in that ball. So it's wondering, you know, what's the long-term impact of that? Because, you know, there are cows that will eat that after they calve.
Yeah.
And then does that ever break down? Does it continue to build up? We actually got a lot more questions from our research project, but what you guys are sharing is very similar to what we found using those ruminally cannulated cows. But Doc, when you were talking about the ball of net wrap being down in the bottom and in the liquid part of the rumen, we were actually finding it more in the fiber mat, but toward the front of where the reticulum would be. And so it very well could be likely that they could regurgitate from there, and it could cause some problems like you were talking about.
Adele, did you use bale processor or what did you use, or hay grinder?
Ours was a hay grinder, but it had a 5-inch screen. So okay. It wasn't ground near as fine as yours was. And when we, you know, calculated approximately how much net wrap those cows would have consumed over that 5-month period, it was about 1.8 pounds per head, and we recovered just over a pound from each animal. So, you know, we wonder what the, you know, where did the rest of it go? Well, we have wind loss in South Dakota. We know that you put that hay in your feed bunk, the wind can take some of it away. There were times that I would walk through the pens and I would find small, like golf ball size balls of net wrap that they had regurgitated. So they were regurgitating a little bit of it. And if they did that, they would spit it out. And so I wonder if that wasn't some of our loss. You know, the way that we calculated the amount of net wrap in the ground hay was that I had bales from the same lot that I took the net wrap off, I cleaned all the hay out of it, and I weighed the net wrap by itself to get a pounds of net wrap per ton of hay. And so it was just averaged over all of the hay that we did. So it's not perfect, but that was the best way to do it. But when you looked at the ground hay pile, there'd be pieces of net wrap that were 12 or 14 inches long that those cattle were consuming.
That's what would really tick me off, is I would be feeding cattle in the morning and you'd have the sunlight sparkling off the net wrap in the hay pile. And I'm just like, this cannot be good. And it's not good.
So, Scott, you talked a lot about you know, some of the challenges you've experienced yourself, why it's a concern, and what you're trying to do to manage that with your implement that you put on your loader bucket. But what would you say to other producers about NetWrap and how to manage it and how to alleviate some issues with it?
You need to remove it, if nothing else, just for the benefit of the environment. Because I equate it as to plastic in the ocean. It's plastic in the land. You know, if you're going to feed 80% of your costs of your cow enterprise, or whatever percentage you want to say, and if you have you mentioned your cows in your study, it was about a 8% volume of the rumen. It's affecting that. But not only that, Doc said, you have animals that are dying from it. I currently got a bull right in the yard right now. I think it's NetWrap. He's getting thinner and thinner every day. He doesn't visually appear to have a fever or sick. He's not loose like he would have yawnies or anything, but he's getting thinner every day. I can't say he has NetWrap, but just the challenge of, we put it in the manure, there's spread straw or whatever in the manure pile. It ends up there. Ends up out in the field. The guy's doing the crop production or tick because it's getting in the bearings. It's just a never ending thing. But you know, one thing I did with Adele Jim is I sent a load of fed cattle to Dodge City, Kansas. And I asked them if they could evaluate them for the amount of NetWrap in them. So it was the last load of cattle I sent last year. We sent about 30 some loads of fed cattle a year. So it was the last load of fed cattle. The cattle that are in the feedlot, we're not removing the NetWrap from because it's terminal. So of the 39 head that we sent down there, was there four of them that had? Yeah. So yeah, we came up with this process, which we worked out with the gal that does tag transfer in the plant. So a zero was nothing. A one was a 1-inch ball. Two is 2-inch ball. Three was 3-inch ball. Isn't that what we set up?
Yes.
So she went over to the process of when they empty the rumen and watched them do this. Well, that's when we learned that these plants are actually employing people. And the way I understand it, they dump the ruminant contents onto like an upside down harrow. And after every third or fourth animal that goes through the line, that person scrapes that NetWrap off because it's messing up their auger system or conveyor system or whatever it is. Mm-hmm. So the simple fact that these plants are employing people to do this, it's an issue. Now, we had three of them we had one with a 1-inch ball, didn't we?
Yeah, yep.
And then I think two of them with a 2-inch ball. And then there was one with a 6-inch ball of orange twine. So my feedlot heifers, or my replacement heifers come on my feedlot heifers at some point in time. So we just got to get more motivated so we remove the NetWrap from there. Now, it's even a bigger issue on people that are feeding straw or corn stalks, because in those scenarios, they're doing usually 3 to 4 wraps per bale. Yeah. And you only have 1,000 pounds of material. You know, a straw bale, a round straw bale is maybe 1,000 pounds. So your NetWrap to pounds of a feed is a lot higher on a corn stalk, people feeding corn stalks or feeding straw, versus most hay, you only do about 1.5 NetWrap and you have a heavier bale.
That's an excellent point, because the hay that I was using were 1,500 pound bales. They had a wrap and a half of net wrap. If you have the straw or the corn stalks, that you have to use more because they're a little more challenging to keep tight. If you have four wraps and only 1,000 pound bale, definitely going to have higher.
Net wrap and your problems are going to be worse.
Very potentially could be, yes.
Would rate of passage affect that? I mean, again, with straw and corn stalks, it's going to stay longer in the rumen. It's not going to go through as fast, so it might actually be more prone to staying because it would have a slower rate of passage.
Right.
Versus a feedlot diet like your steers. That would have a higher rate of passage. It would go through the system quicker.
Well, and on my feedlot cattle, they're getting the lower incidence of hay. We're feeding more grain, more silage, and so forth. So our incidence of hay in that diet is less, versus a cow herd.
Right. So Doc, from your professional perspective, how big of an issue is net wrap for beef cattle producers? I mean, you obviously shared quite a few clients who were having issues with it, but widespread, how big of an issue do you think it is?
I think it's way bigger than we know. When an old cow dies for no reason, I usually do not get to post those. I don't get to see what's in them. Mm-hmm. They just chalk it up to nothing, but unless I'm out there looking for something else and I find this, it doesn't come home. One of my clients, he knows it's bad and he takes all the twine off every single bale he feeds. But his argument is, and it's a pretty good one, that like in a couple years ago when it was so challenging to get our hay up, your baling window might only be an hour in one day. And with the net wrap, you can get up a whole lot more bales than you can with sessile twine. So he hates it. He takes it all off. But when he doesn't have the time, it was worth it. He said, I got time in the winter to take it off, but I don't have time when I'm baling I need more bales to put up.
Yep, that makes sense.
Last winter was an open winter with very little snow.
Right.
So removing the net wrap last year was way easier than other years where it's freezing and snow and it's an issue. I don't think the net wrap's going away.
No.
But I
convenient think, cells.
Yes. But I think, too, it is an issue not only with net wrap, but with, some of our non-degradable twines, too. I mean, the hay that we use here at home has got the biodegradable twine on it, and we take everything off. But I don't know what it is. It's like those cows have a magnet to that twine. As soon as I cut it, they're going to have a piece in their mouth and then I'm trying to grab it out. But, I wonder even what those cows that I can't get it grabbed out of, what they look like, even though we're trying to do a good job.
Well, you got to remember the biodegradable is only biodegradable if it has sunlight.
Exactly.
If it's buried or inside the cow, there's no sunlight, so it's not going to break down.
Nope, exactly. And that's my biggest concern because it doesn't have the UV light to break down. And so how is it building up? And could it have similar type impacts like you were talking, Doc, with the one that, regurgitated some and bloated and died as a result of it? So I think, our goal with this was really to help make people aware of some of the things that we've got producers in South Dakota who are doing, some of the challenge that veterinarians are seeing, some of the findings of the research project that we had there at Cottonwood. And I guess, do either of you have any final thoughts before we close this podcast?
I got one. This is a pretty bad drought year, and there are going to be a lot of people limit feeding their cattle. They're going to supplement corn and distillers. The cows aren't going to get the pounds they're used to. Any distillers wraps out there, they're going to eat it. They're going to want to fill themselves up. So I think if you've got distillers, if you've got net wrap just laying around this year and you're limit feeding your cattle, those cattle will eat it. They don't need to have feed on it or anything. They'll just eat it just to fill themselves up.
Now, I think if you don't remove the net wrap and feed the whole bale, will they eat from the sides in? Because I got one friend. That's what he does. He doesn't remove the net wrap. He just puts them out there as whole bales, lets the cows eat it in. Then they sort of end up with this big wad of net wrap, and he sort of feels they aren't consuming it because it's all in one piece.
I saw a yearling heifer try to consume a chunk of styrofoam wrap that came around a pallet of feed. That whole styrofoam wrap, there was 4 foot of it in her, and some still sticking out of her mouth. It was all in one piece.
I think they would consume it even as a whole piece, because when I was doing my research in North Dakota for my master's program, we had ruminally cannulated nursing calves. So March-born calves that we put rumen cannulas in June, and we pulled one of the black lawn and leaf garbage bags out of one of them. And that's a calf.
I've watched calves pick grocery bags out of a fence line and eat them. I got a chunk of plastic that was 2 foot by 3 or 4 foot, small layer of plastic. I think it was from the inside of a mineral sack out of a rumen of a cow. Cows, their mouth is not particularly adapted to spitting things out. If they get something in there, it's eaten out and chew it later. They aren't very good at spitting things out. If they get something started, odds are it's going to go in.
Mm-hmm. I think Adele, most of us ignore it as producers. And when I talked to a few industry people, whether it was in the twine side or whatever, well, the comment was, well, those cows that die, they're just old. You know, they aren't dying from net wrap. Well, we don't know because we're not checking them. And, you know, maybe a person needs to have, I mean, me saying it's bad and Doc saying it's bad probably isn't going to change the world. But maybe if you came with your study and said, well, 8% of the volume that rumen is this much towards the feed efficiency, your death loss might be 1% in your cow herd. You know, this ending up in your feedlot cattle has a cost. You know, having to replace the bearings on the trash wheels on the planter has a cost. If a person had numbers, then maybe we would change people's minds, you know?
I think that's an excellent point, Scott, because doing this research project actually, I think, brought more questions up for me than it did answers completely, because, yeah, what is the cost of the net wrap in these cows? What are the implications of developing replacement heifers on ground hay that has net wrap left on it? And you brought that up for your own situation.
Especially if they're using corn stalks, which some of them are.
Yep. You know, how do we put a monetary value on that? And how do we measure that? Because I don't think anybody knows that yet. But those are all still a lot of research questions that are out there and I would like to get more information on, but just haven't been able to find the time or the monetary resources to be able to do it.
Well, this contraption I was working on putting on my loader bucket, I figured, well, that might be the save all, because if you can do it so you don't have to get out of the tractor, people might do it. And where's that price point of whether they'll do it or not? Well, they don't know. But if you lose a $12,000 bull due to eating net wrap, or even your favorite cow due to net wrap, what's the price of that, you know?
Exactly. So, Doc, do you know or have you seen any evidence of them actually passing any of this net wrap? Because in my research project, you know, we had the balls, but then we had a lot of free floating net wrap still in the rumen. And I don't know, did you find that when you did your rumenotomy, or what did you find?
I didn't check for it on these cases where I had a rumenotomy.
Okay.
But I have in other cases. I took some feces home and tried watering it down to see if I could find it, and put some in a centrifuge, like a fecal float, and tried to bring it up, and I still couldn't find any. But okay. Then I didn't have a diagnosis on those animals. I was just looking for net wrap in the feces. I was trying to see if I could diagnose it that way. So it wasn't a real good case. I wish I would have thought of that with the ones that did have the net wrap and got some feces out of them and then looked at it. Yeah, that would have been, you know, getting these net wraps out. I was charging clients $100 to go in and do a rumenotomy. But, you know, that way you have a definitive diagnosis, and then you could turn around and do a fecal to see if you could validate it. That would be a research model that could be used mm-hmm. on cows.
Yeah. So another project that Montana did, they actually had some three-year-olds that they did a seven-month winter feeding program on, and then harvested those animals and recovered everything in the digestive tract. And they had like 0.001% net wrap in the intestines. And so to me, that says very little of it ever got out of the stomach compartments. So
I was aware of one study done in North Dakota using ground hay, and they said it didn't have an impact until the cow got to be 6 or 7 years old.
Okay.
I did not read the study. I gathered that from somebody else. And I don't know what the impact was, but it took 6 or 7 years.
Okay.
And in North Dakota, I assume they fed longer than we do even.
Right. Yeah, because that's one of my big questions is, if we feed, say, 5 months every winter, how many winters does it take to build up to a point that it can have that negative impact on the cow's efficiency and overall health, actually. So,
you know, one thing we keep saying net wrap, but plastic garbage bags, you mentioned liner out of a mineral bag, other things like that. So, you know, maybe rather than just directing it towards net wrap and getting those guys all torqued, you might want to say, I don't know, plastic overall. When cows die from net wrap, do they starve to death, or what happens? Is it bloat?
I have seen bloat, but I think most of them, well, like I said, I thought it was woody tongue. Their mouths were open, they were drooling, but there was nothing in their mouth. They were starving, but no diarrhea. You know, you could rule out yonis. But the signs are not real specific. So that I think that holds us back.
Do they get lethargic? because they're weak.
Certainly, the cow that I took this big ball of net wrap out of, the client actually thought he could pick out the ones that were the worst. And he brought me in 6 head, and 2 of them had net wrap. So he had 4 false positives. And these were younger cows, mostly that he brought in. So, you know, how do you tell this from a nutritional deficiency? I'd say it looked the same. You know, young cow that wasn't competing with the older cows, or the hay wasn't as good, and they were thinner. That's what he used to find this first one with the big one, but it was more of a middle-aged cow.
Well, the one thing I do need to try and do is we feed out all our own cows and sell them direct to the plant. The hard part is getting access to the plants.
Yeah.
At Dodge City through USPB, where I was collecting the individual carcass data, I already sort of had it in because we was doing tag transfer. Mm-hmm. Cow plants, I've talked to them a little bit, Adele, on trying to get some info, and it's sort of like everybody else, we just ignore it, you know. But maybe I just need to be more of a pain or you know, I don't know.
I definitely think there's a need and an interest in it. You know, I received an email from a veterinarian in Canada today who was interested in what we're doing here with NetWrap. He's seen a lot of challenges with it. And his question was also on how to, you know, would it be worthwhile to monitor those mature cows that are going to harvest and what we're seeing as an industry, and then how to work through that. So
did Demcoda, did you talk to somebody at Demcoda? Did they give you that they had a procedure for handling it or anything or not?
So I have not had an opportunity to talk to anybody specifically at Demcoda, but have heard that they do have challenges with it, plugging up their drainage system. And I don't know if they have implemented any strategies to help alleviate that problem or not.
Well, all the rumen contents are taken to the landfill due to BSE. It used to be they would retrieve that, recycle it for cattle feed, feed it back to cattle. But after BSE, I was told they don't do that anymore.
So. Right.
So here's a wild idea. Since I think the last farm bill, they made it legal to grow hemp. Yep. Hemp is some pretty tough stuff. They used to make the bumpers on big sailing ships were made out of hemp.
Yep.
Could we make net wrap out of hemp?
Go ahead, Scott.
I asked that question to the twine company. And they said that it is too heavy to flow in the net wrap bale system. Now, it might be just an excuse. Now, I've got a neighbor that's raising hemp, 1,600 acres worth, and they're combining it right now. And the problem they're having there, I hear through the grapevine, is it wraps on everything. But it is a cellulose product.
Right.
And bacteria could theoretically break it down.
Yes.
Mm-hmm.
Or micro, you know.
Yep.
Well, it would probably have a quality that'd be just like adding a small percentage of straw to your to your hay. I mean, it may not be good, but it's still not going to be harmful.
Well, exactly. I wonder if flax wouldn't work.
Oh. Not familiar with that.
They used to come harvest flax. There's some people that still plant flax. I had some in some cover crop stuff I planted.
I was going to say flax is very common in North Dakota, more for the seed versus I wasn't aware of the fiber of flax. So yes, I think that continuing to look for those biodegradable avenues are good. but it's also got to work in the equipment as well. So I thank you guys so much for this discussion. This has been a lot of fun. I've learned a lot. I think we all still have some more questions, but I think we definitely know that net wrap in cattle diets is a concern. And the more we can do to alleviate those issues by removing net wrap and just being aware of what we're doing as beef cattle producers can be very valuable for the entire beef cattle chain, not just for us when we are owning those livestock, but on down the line through the feedlot and the packing system. So with that, we will wrap up. Thanks for joining me today. And once again, this has been Cattle HQ, brought to you by SDSU Extension. Visit extension.sdstate.edu for the latest beef cattle information.
Thanks, Adele.
Thank you, guys. I appreciate that. So this probably won't go live until mid to later November, just because this is the first one is supposed to finally go up tomorrow. We're a little behind. working with our ed tech department is a challenge. And so what we're doing is we'll do a new podcast every other week. First one coming out tomorrow, and then every other Tuesday after that. So,
well, if I send a load to Dodge, where Teresa's already done that and we already have our system set up, I'll put you in the know.
Okay.
So we can try and get a little more data on the ones we harvest. There's going to be a few more loads go to Dodge, but the rest are going to go to Tama, Iowa. So,
okay.
And I'm lucky to get carcass data out of them, let alone try and get some net wrap stuff. So I won't go there with them, but.
Yep.
And if I send some fed cows, I'll try and do a little arm twisting, you know, see if we can't. Because to me, that would be my tail in my own operation. That would be my telltale. Yep. What I got in them. Because I know what they've been fed and how they've been handled.
Exactly. So, all right. Well, I will let you guys go for this evening and I'll let you know when we get the podcast live. So,
okay.
Thank you.
You're welcome.